Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good day, good week, everyone. Hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving. Chris Bowden, your pre- and post-game host with you, alongside the Chelsea blogger, the NHL.com Chicago Blackhawks correspondent, early Chicago correspondent, Scott King, as we join you now following what was not a pretty Tuesday night. Blackhawks lone game, home game among six as they begin a rough stretch of schedule, and it was a rough watch as the Blackhawks fall 8-3 to the Vegas Golden Knights, and this seemed like almost a perfect storm in terms of the Blackhawks welcoming a couple new guys onto their roster, trying to adapt. They did have the emotional lift of how they finished that game Saturday in Florida, the dramatic 5-4 overtime victory. But I said perfect storm from the sense that they come home and they take on a team that was really starting to look more and more familiar with the one that ended up representing the Western Conference in the Stanley Cup, the Vegas Golden Knights. They are rounding into form, but I think more from a disappointment standpoint, and Troy and I talked about it in the postgame show a little bit, you were hoping to see a little bit more response from the guys. Another early hole, and you know, they get a quick goal early in the second period, but then each time Vegas would counterpunch, it seemed it sucked a little bit more life out of the Blackhawks.
Yeah, if only they could have stayed on side maybe for that Cahoon goal, maybe you get some momentum there.
Which I could see right away from upstairs, and you probably
yeah, if you guys did. If you guys did. Yeah, look, there were two teams playing tonight. They were both trying to find themselves, and the Golden Knights found, like you said, what they had last year, and the Hawks are still searching. They made some moves. You know, we'll probably get into Strom a little more later. I liked him tonight. I noticed Perlini early, and I kind of, maybe because I was writing so much, because I had another 10-plus goal deadline story to write that I couldn't watch half the game. I didn't notice Perlini much later, but I was fine-tuning my story throughout the entire game. I think he's a guy with a lot of upside from what I was talking to Weidman today. So he's got a really hard shot. Strom and some other players say he's really fast. So he's a guy who could be interesting too.
But for the here and now, though, this team really faces a challenge moving forward. Since they weren't able to sustain, and Vegas looked so much like they did a year ago, especially against the Blackhawks, it's now 0-4 all time, that this is going to be a true test of this team's mental toughness going into Winnipeg, going into Nashville, coming home against a Calgary team that's playing very well. How they respond Thursday in Winnipeg against a team that blew a lead at home tonight, by the way, the Winnipeg Jets, how they respond is going to be a real true test here. It's going to be mental toughness, and I know even Jonathan Toews talked about he needs to be better. They have to find a way to fight through this, and you know, it runs hand in hand with what Jeremy Collinson said in the postgame press conference about having to experience results to build up that belief. I mean, they had it for a short time after that win in Florida, but it didn't take long for the pin to deflate. And credit Marc-Andre Fleury, because I thought the first period wasn't too bad, and every mistake the Blackhawks made jumped up and bit him. And they were putting some pressure on Fleury, but he kept his shutout streak going. And when you put all that pressure and effort into the first period, look up at the scoreboard, and you're down 3-0, with this team's mental state right now, I think Fleury was just as valuable as anybody out there tonight.
And Fleury is fantastic. His fifth straight win. He had two straight shutouts coming into Chicago. Saw him before the game after the morning skate. I mean, he's fantastic. I think it was called him a stud and the best goalie in the league, and you can't argue that. As far as the Hawks and the here and now, as you say, Chris, it's just that these very poor performances are not few and far in between. They're jumping up a lot, and when you get a nice, good team win with a strong effort, you know, I don't know. I think you can count on one hand, maybe just a couple fingers, how many 60-minute performances you've had this year. I think that's their problem. And you know, maybe that Florida game, you could say it was 45 minutes or not a full 60. So it's that, and like you said, Toews and Seabrook and some of the vets kind of raising their hands, say, I got to play better. Everyone has to play better. You have to play really poorly to make Corey Crawford look like a bad goalie, and that's what happened tonight. Were some of those on him? Sure. But how many shots did he end up facing before he got yanked and Cam Ward went in there to start the third? So, yeah, real poor performance. And like I said, there's been far too many of them. And even Jeremy Colleton coming in here now, he's not a guy who wants to point fingers or say anything negative. And he said, you know, need to raise our compete level. He chose his words carefully, but he's like, he kind of said there's not a lot you can say on a game like tonight.
Yeah, and I kind of like what he said in that post-game press conference as well in terms of them not being good enough from an effort standpoint. And, again, falling behind like they have. These last four games, they've been outscored in the first period 11-1, falling behind 3-0 twice, falling behind 2-0 in the two other first periods. And it's almost becoming probably a psychological battle in this team's head about just trying to make it through the first 20 minutes without having to dig out of a huge hole. And you know, when you're making mistakes that lead to these deficits, this team's depth and offensive firepower is not the switch that they were able to flip when they're on their cup run either.
Yeah, allowing four goals in four straight games when you have Corey Crawford back there, getting back to Crawford, it's just, I mean, I think at this point it's inexcusable, and I don't know. A lot of it's after that first goal or two we've seen all year, to kind of hang in your head and not getting motivated by it to turn things around, to control the puck more, to put pucks on net, maybe play a little tighter D. We're not seeing that. We're not seeing them rebound properly from getting scored on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to have that belief and that proof in order to build that confidence back up. All right, let's turn our attention to the trade that Stan Bowman pulled off on Sunday night with Arizona. Once again, Nick Schmaltz going to the Coyotes in exchange for Dylan Strome, Brennan Perlini, an all first-round draft pick three-player trade. Let's first hear from Stan Bowman. We're going to give you a good chunk of what his press conference was like Monday at MB Ice Arena following that trade, explaining it. And besides that, he does say he expects more deals league-wide before the holidays. It's been pretty active so far here early this season. He can't pinpoint a connection that he has with John Chayka, the Arizona GM, continuing to go back to trading with the Coyotes, but it has been quite frequent, shall we say the least. But also, you know, as he goes through this press conference, you'll hear him talking about the team under Jeremy Colleton prior to Tuesday's loss, the importance of staying around 500 and trying to mold this team together, and then hopefully you're around 500 and can get on a run. It took a step back on Tuesday night. Whether this trade sends a message, later on you'll hear him talk about how encouraging he is about the defensive pipeline and Adam Boqvist in particular. But he begins the session when we hear him talk about Dylan Strome and the relationship that he had with Alex DeBrincat as a longtime partner with the Erie Otters. And for some of that, one of those seasons, Connor McDavid as well, as those three absolutely lit up the OHL. And learning more about Strome as they were keeping an eye on Alex DeBrincat, their 2016 second-round pick. Here's Stan Bowman from Monday.
Obviously, we scouted him. I mean, he was scouted quite a bit his draft year. And we weren't in the mix to be picking him because of where he was taken. But so we had a lot of history with him. And then the next year, we watched Alex play, so we got to see him, well, for a couple of years, really, to see Alex develop. And it's hard to miss a player like Dylan when you're there. And they played together quite a bit, and he was a dominant player in the OHL. So, you know, we've known his talent for a long time, and sometimes those guys just need a change of scenery. That's sort of the cliche thing, but I think there's a lot of truth to that. Really excited for what he brings to the table. You know, his talent level is unquestioned. I think it's just a matter of putting it all together, and we think that this is a great opportunity for that. Watching both Brendan and Dylan play, I think there's a lot of attributes to their game that are going to translate well to how we want to play. They bring some size. You know, they're both big guys. You know, in the case of Perlini, he's a great skater. I mean, fantastic wheels, great shot. You know, he can really get the puck up the ice, and he can put the puck on the net, and he's got a great release. So from that perspective, he can play sort of a lot of different roles. He can play sort of up and down the lineup because he's got that ability to skate and shoot. And then in Dylan's case, you know, he's got just the incredible hockey instincts and skill level passing. So when you put it together, you know, we got two NHL players on our team now for one. And you, you know, you have to give to get. You know, we're not going to get two players like that by not trading away a really good player. So, you know, it's not easy to do that. Obviously, Nick had a great season last year, and, you know, he's been playing better lately. So I think it wasn't so much that we're disappointed at all in Nick's performance, or I think he's going to be a very good player in the league. But for us to get two guys that we think are going to be very good players, you sort of have to give to get. We're trying to build our base up front. I think, you know, looking at our prospect pipeline, we've got some really talented defensemen that are right on the brink of being here. Obviously, with Henry here, it's pretty exciting to see how quickly he's adapted to the NHL. And I think we've got a couple other guys, you know, following in his footsteps in Boqvist and Ian Mitchell and Beaudin. So then, you know, on the forward side, we're looking for guys that are able to jump in right now. And I think, you know, we got two guys that are legit NHL players. And, you know, I think looking at Perlini's last year, I thought he had a really, really strong season. You know, 17 goals in the NHL for a second-year player is a pretty good start. You know, I think the potential for him is to just build on last year. So with Dylan, we have a need at center ice, and he's got that profile of being a dominant player at every level he's been in. Even last season in the American League, you know, to average over a point a game in the AHL is pretty impressive. You know, you can look at all of our guys who've come through our system, and to make it to Chicago, you know, they weren't able to do that at that age. So, you know, he had a really good season last year. He just didn't get a lot of NHL time. And then this year, you know, he's working his way up. And, you know, I think in the minutes that he's had, he's done pretty well. You know, he wasn't in a higher profile there. They got a lot of good young forwards in Arizona. And I think sometimes it's just a situational thing where, you know, guys might get a good opportunity here that they didn't have elsewhere.
What message do you think that this trade sends to the players on the current roster? If they want to be here next season, what do they have to prove this season?
The message is we're just trying to get better. We're trying to make this a stronger group. And I think, you know, we're sitting here today with two players that I think it strengthens our top nine forwards. So the message would be we're here to try to make your jobs easier. It's not anything. I think these guys are professional athletes, so they know that it's a results business. And I don't know that they shouldn't take anything from it other than we're trying to get better and we're trying to, you know, support them by increasing our depth.
What do you like about what you've seen with the progress in our collagen so far?
Well, I think we've done a lot of good things. We've just had some moments in games, which some breakdowns, and then it's cost us dearly in those games when, you know, you're looking back the recent games when, you probably of the 60 minutes, we played probably, you know, 45, 50 good minutes. But in those minutes where we weren't quite on, we really got exposed. So a lot of good. I mean, there's some things that are changing, and I think just it's not easy to break habits, and it's going to take some time. We haven't had a lot of practice opportunities. But, you know, as we go along, that'll smooth itself out. I love the energy of the group. I really love the, you know, the excitement of our coaching staff and our players, even though not all the results have been there. I think there's still been a good vibe, even when we haven't won games. I think we know that it's coming, and we can see the potential there if we can just kind of stick with it and not get too frustrated.
Is it hard to stay patient with the results, with the coaching change and making a trade like this, and not, you know, still having those playoff aspirations?
Well, I mean, you have to be patient to allow. I mean, the process has to take place in terms of learning to play a little bit of a different way. You have a new coach that stresses different things than the previous coach, so there's no way to hurry that up, right? It just has to happen. But in the meantime, you want to try to win as many games as you can, and, you know, we have to just stay with it, in the sense at some point you have to make a run, you know, whether it's now or within the next couple months, you know, put together, string together some victories. And I think when you do that, you know, it's not too hard to stay in the race. If you can, you know, stay around 500, we got to get ourselves back there tomorrow night. That's really our short-term goal, is get yourself to a 500 mark, and then from there try to string together a few winning streaks, and you know, you'll put yourself right in the mix. So you have to just keep looking forward. You can't get ahead of yourself. You can't win 10 games at one time. You got to win, you know, one game at a time 10 times, and then you suddenly got a winning streak there. So you know, we're approaching it that way. It's important to sort of stay in the moment, you can't look too far ahead as far as what your upcoming schedule is, who you're playing, where the games are. It's just, we got a game tomorrow night, and we got to do our best to win that and you know, even out our record, and then take it from there.
With everything that's happened over the last couple of weeks and then also the last couple of seasons, how has the direction of the Blackhawks changed, would you say?
Well, you know, we're trying to improve. I think, to put it simply, like, I think we're trying to have our younger players take the next step and become impact players. And at the same time, you know, we're trying to have our established players continue to be, you know, difference makers. So how you characterize that, you know, I can leave that to you guys to put a word on it. But we're trying to, I think we're a better team today than we were yesterday, simply because we have more depth up front. We got a lot more options. You're looking at our top nine forwards now. I mean, we've got some different combinations that I think are going to give us a chance to be competitive this season. And like I said, as you look into the next couple seasons, you should be really encouraged by the progression of someone like Henry and what that means for some of these other players, specifically on defense. You know, I think those guys are going to be really high-level players. I'm talking about Ian Mitchell and Boqvist and Beaudin. You know, whether they're going to all be here next year, I'm not sure on that, but I think they're not that far away from sort of transforming your team to being high with defense prospects. So now the job is to, you know, translate more victories in the short term and continue to improve.
What have you liked about Boqvist's progression in the OHL? He's on the three-game goal scoring streak now.
Yeah, he didn't score a goal for a while there. I know he was sort of frustrated. He had so many opportunities. I had seen him play a couple games, and he had great chances. He gets a lot of shots every game. And now it's like he broke through, and he's scoring quite a bit now. So their team is different, too. They've made some additions. A couple guys get sent back from the NHL. So they're a different look. They're a high-powered team. The biggest thing with Adam is just getting acclimated to the game in North America and the rink and the lifestyle, you know, the culture, speaking English every day. All that stuff was things that we were looking forward to him experiencing. But hockey-wise, I mean, his talent level is so noticeable. I mean, if you go watch a game, you didn't know who was a good player and you were just a casual fan, you would say, that guy there, watch him. He does something every shift. You know, he stands out. You don't have to go looking for him. So very happy with his progress, and I think he's going to continue to get better when he's in an environment like that.
Stan Bowman talking about his reasoning for the trade, along with a number of other subjects, as well as the team's development or stops and starts under Jeremy Colleton since that move was made 3 weeks ago. But I kind of get what Stan is doing. Nick Schmaltz was a disappointment. Does he still have high-end ability? Of course. But I think they were asking him to do a lot of the things that he was still reluctant to do in terms of his aggressiveness, both shooting the puck, taking the puck towards the middle of the ice, towards the net. Two goals after a 21-goal season. We'll have to see if 21 ends up being Nick Schmaltz's career high, because he never had anything like that. And then, if it's not working, you have to make changes, whether it's line changes, defensive pair changes, or changes to the roster. And again, Arizona perhaps was not seeing out of Strome and Perlini what they had hoped when they made them first-round draft picks years ago. So this is obviously a change of scenery trade. And you know, having the two-for-one guys on a team that was lacking depth scoring and hoping they can provide a little bit more punch, I do see what Stan was doing in this trade.
I do too. Yeah, maybe it was a bit of a message to the team as well. You know, I don't think they were asking Nick Schmaltz to do anything crazy. They're investing a lot in him to be a big part of the future. Everyone thought he's going to be one of the next superstars on this team. Patrick Kane said yesterday that he was hoping to have that chemistry with him, to be that guy, almost like Panarin, that he's going to have insane chemistry with and put up a lot of points. And he wasn't. They were just asking him to score goals and go north-south, and he couldn't do it. And he had a great opportunity here. And he had plenty of time. So maybe that's the message to the rest of the team, to just keep it simple and do what you're expected to do. And I can't speak to really what happened in Arizona or why they traded away what they did, but I think it's a great pickup for the Blackhawks. The depth scoring, like you said, you know, you're getting two young forwards who are 6'1 and 6'3. I think that's great to have that size, and they both have great shots. Strom, I think, what was his faceoff percentage? Like 58% on the dot? So yeah. That's great to have, yeah. Especially if he can play with Kane and DeBrincat. I'd like to see those guys stay together after Tuesday. I thought they looked real sharp, had a lot of good plays, good chances. Strom, when I talked to him after the game, said he should have had more goals just Tuesday night. So so we'll see what pans up. I do like the trade in favor of the Hawks.
Let's and obviously time will tell with this. Let's now hear from what Dylan Strome had to say on Monday after his first practice with the team. He and Perlini got in it like right before practice started. Got into town after the snowstorm. Yeah, had to leave Arizona at like 5:45 in the morning after they had played the night before. But Strome, 21, the number 3 overall pick in 15. That's after McDavid and Eichel, and before Marner and Hanifin. So he comes in to his Blackhawks career with only 48 games of NHL experience, absolutely lit up the AHL. But as we mentioned earlier, goes back with DeBrincat, and that was among the topics that he spoke about when he met with the media on Monday.
Probably say he's one of my best friends, so no, it's nice to see him again, see a familiar face around the rink. We had a lot of chemistry back in junior, had a lot of good times, so we'll see what happens here. But obviously he can score, so no, he's fun to play with.
Why did it work so well for you two when you were in Erie?
Not too sure. I think just building chemistry. We actually lived together for the last 2 years and when I was in junior, so built chemistry on and off the ice and had a lot of fun. So a lot of fun scoring goals, and he's real good at that. So, no, it's a lot of fun.
How would you assess your NHL game so far?
No, obviously, I want to be a little bit more productive. I don't think it's any surprise to anyone. I want to, put up numbers and help whatever team I'm on win. So I want to come here and help this team win. I'm a Chicago Blackhawk now, and I'm proud, and I'm ready to get to work.
Is there something more you can do or something that hasn't exactly clicked for you yet?
No, I think just I've only played 48 games, I think, in this league. So just trying to keep working hard and keep going. Just come to the rink every day and work hard, and good things will happen.
Change of scenery and rejuvenate.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's what I guess everyone's hoping for. I just trying to come in here and, like I said, just work hard, and I'm familiar with Alex and then met some of the guys on the ice, so felt good to be out there, and looking forward to tomorrow.
How would you describe your game to fans I don't know?
I'm a guy that likes to set up some plays and try to be good defensively and get on faceoffs. Obviously I like to score goals and like to set up plays, and I like to have fun out there. I'm a big hockey guy, just love the game, love watching. Got two brothers that play, so follow them a lot. And I'm just a guy that works hard and tries to do whatever it takes to help the team win. I've had success pretty much my whole life in hockey and with a winning team, so I'm gonna try to try to bring that here and help this team out.
Your faceoff percentage has increased substantially from last year. What has changed in that area for you?
I think just getting more comfortable, more confident. I was going in there expecting to win every time, and it's hockey's a lot more fun when you start with the puck. So if you can tell your wingers where you think you're going to win it, or you got some chemistry with them and they can help you out, it helps a lot to start with the puck.
It's early, obviously, but do you dream about the idea of playing DeBrincat on one side, Patrick Kane on the other?
Yeah, that would be a pretty good line. They're obviously two unbelievably skilled players, and Kane's been doing it for a long time in this league, so I'm not sure what's going to happen tomorrow or in the upcoming weeks, but looking forward to whatever's thrown at me, and like I said, I'm excited to be a Blackhawk.
There's a new coach here. Could that play to your advantage? They're still working on things. They're still teaching to a degree?
Yeah, for sure. I think I've only had a quick conversation with him just on the ice there, so I'm sure we'll get to know each other a little bit more, but like you just said, I think everyone's kind of getting used to him here, and I'm just trying to trying to fit in and trying to help this team win.
Coming into the season, what have you worked on coming into the season by your game?
A lot of skating. I feel like my skating and strength needed to get better from last year and from the previous years that I was in the league and played games. So I definitely feel a lot stronger and feel a lot faster on the ice this year. And I think it's a credit to just working hard in the summer, and had a a great trainer back home in Toronto and a good skating coach. So trying to put that on the ice and hopefully helps us here.
Scott, you had a chance to talk with Dylan a little bit more twice on Tuesday, both after the morning skate and then after the 8-3 loss to Vegas. And he knows he needs things to work on. Apparently the shot, the hands, you mentioned the faceoffs are good. I guess the main question with him is foot speed. There are other guys in this league. You just have to look at Ryan O'Reilly as one example. For guys that don't have the greatest foot speed, even though the league is changing the importance of that, over the course of the past couple of years. But there's a way to survive, and hopefully he can figure this out, because it certainly seems like every other skill is right there for Dylan Strome.
Yeah, maybe this, you know, if it doesn't strengthen or improve this season, maybe in the offseason go see Jonathan Taves's training coach, because Taves has been shot out of a cannon most of the season this year after kind of seeming like he lost a step last year. So it's something you could work on, you know, training, drills, anything to enhance your speed. But like you said, big guy and can win faceoffs, got a great shot. It's good to just have one area where you can improve him. I think he can help the team a lot.
Yeah, I'd expect him to maybe get a little bit more power play time moving forward. Heck, anything that can be tried on the power play is worth it. But he came in with 3 goals, 6 points in 19 games for Arizona this year, 4 goals, 9 points, 21 games a year ago. And we mentioned that Erie career, 354 points in like 4 years at Erie. But that's the OHL, folks. So it's a whole new proving ground up here. He's only 21 years old. So Strome, the number 3 overall pick in 15. Perlini was the number 12 overall pick in 14. That was Schmaltz's draft when the Blackhawks picked him 20th. He will become a restricted free agent after this year. But 6'3", killer speed, 17 goals last season after 14 in his first season, so you know the ability is there. And here's Brennan Perlini with some of his thoughts between his first practice and first game with the Blackhawks.
It's a new, fresh opportunity for me, and you can tell in practice, you know, great players, obviously, you know, a lot of veteran guys who have done great things in the game, so for me to come in, I just want to learn off them and improve and get better every day.
You scored 17 goals last season. I mean, how can you build off that? And when you're at your best, kind of what's your style of play?
Yeah, well, I think I bring a lot of speed, and I think that's really my main asset, speed and shot. You know, whether I don't really know who I'm going to be playing with or anything like that, but for me, I just have to kind of come in and play my game and try and help my teammates and you know, just play my game, really, and stick to things that that I do best, and hopefully have a lot of success.
Can it be an advantage for you that there's a new coach here, and you know, there's still everyone on this team is kind of in a new situation, learning some new things, maybe easy transition a little bit?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he had come and talked to me. I guess he's staying in the same hotel right now too. So it's gonna be a lot of fun to learn and have a fresh new outlook on the game from obviously the players and the coaching staff. So I'm excited to learn and to keep improving.
Kane said he watched the game last night and said you were probably the most noticeable player for Arizona. Is that the kind of style you want to play, just be energetic and be noticeable out there?
Yeah, I mean, I like to play with the puck. Obviously, like I said, I bring a lot of speed. But, you know, to me, every time we played the Hawks, it seems like they play kind of a puck possession game. So, you know, for us, it was a little bit of a different style in Arizona, and you know, hopefully, can utilize my speed a little bit better here and my skill set a little more. But yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be a lot of fun.
A lot of guys on your old team used to play in Chicago. Did you know any of them? Did they give you any advice?
Yeah, a lot of guys just said it's a great city, that I have a lot of fun, and I'm excited to be kind of back in a hockey market again. You know, obviously they've had a lot of success here and past whatever amount of years, so you know, hopefully can bring a little bit and add to the guys and hopefully have success here.
Your numbers don't seem too far down from your first 2 years. Do you feel like this start of the season has been slow for you? Or
yeah, I think it has a bit. I think that's more of, as a team, if you look at in Arizona, we were really inconsistent as far as, you know, we play 5 or 6 games really good, then we'd go on, you know, kind of a losing streak, then back on a winning streak, and it's, as a player, it's hard to, you know, find consistency in that that kind of when the games are going like that. So, yeah, hopefully I'll sound like a broken record, but can just come in and play my game and try and do my thing.
So there's Brennan Perlini after his Blackhawks debut, kind of a quiet night in comparison to Dylan Strome. But I think there's still some maneuvering around and figuring out where these guys are going to be able to fit throughout the course of this lineup. I looked over second intermission. It looked like a pretty hearty plate. I did help myself to the loaded baked potatoes that were very good.
I didn't see those. They were loaded baked potatoes?
Not baked potatoes. I mean, Yeah, well, there were nachos there too. I said, but they were like loaded potatoes and bacon and everything like
that. I feel that's what happens with these games. You
go back upstairs right now.
The finer things in life when you got to be buried writing about these goals.
So, how was the two meal Thanksgiving for you though?
It was good. Yeah. It was good. Did lunch in Homer Glen. Very nice. Brought the kids, saw all the family on my dad's side, and then out by you for Orland for dinner. Very nice. Mother-in-law cooked, and yeah, had a very nice time with the kids.
Good. Good. And I said I was going to keep it to one plate, but I really loaded up the one plate, and I was uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable for about 24 hours after that and could barely move. So, yeah, I was really disciplined. Just one plate. But it was stacked, and it was all the heavier stuff, too.
Speaking of eating, I thought this after you did your the look over from after your intermission report, every game you do. Mm-hmm. It's the interesting thing when you, Chris, when you try to watch me eat is not that you do it and that it's catching the sports world by storm, being talked about on NHL Network. Right. But it's that no matter what you got going on, no matter if it's I don't know, I forgot what the score was after two periods, but no matter what's going on in the game, you do a report, because I'm watching you, I'm waiting for it. You do your report, you check your Twitter, maybe check your phone, and then there's just this moment where you remember to look at the monster eating next to you.
Yeah.
And I see you look over.
I was a little late today, too.
Never forget.
But it's because I care. That's why. And I'm curious to see what it is there. And there was a mountain of something there that had disappeared. And same thing with John. I looked up in the John usually sits above us. He had a plate full of stuff, and I couldn't quite figure it out because whatever was on the bottom was buried by whatever was on the top. So no work-related equipment accidents today?
Not today. Real quick, Weidemann did challenge me to an eating competition this morning. So we'll see when we could do that. Maybe
we might have to do pay-per-view or something.
maybe we could put a paywall up on the WGN site. Yes. I couldn't remember if I talked about this last time or not. It's just been on my mind constantly. But I had to.
Had to be.
Yes. So in light of the season and these games I've been writing about on Deadline, my first year as a Deadline writer, my computer crashed not during a game, like a week ago. I poured by accident some Monster Energy drink on it. Okay. So it's all sticky and seemed fine, and then it stopped working after about 10 minutes. So I had to take it in and got my butt kicked by Apple and what they charge and how they treat you, and felt like I was leaving after a hurricane. And I had to borrow my wife's huge laptop. It's basically like a home computer, and bring it here to the media room.
That's what you were carting in.
Oh my God! I needed like a like one of those luggage on wheels suitcases. It was terrible. I got through three games, the last three games prior to Tuesday somehow. So it's great to have my computer back, no matter what it cost me.
By sheer force of will, you plowed through. You plowed through the distraction of that and dealing with some new equipment and. Yeah, it's kind of like the Blackhawks trying to adjust to a new coach, new players.
New equipment,
right,
personnel.
Right, exactly.
All right, well, it's going to be an interesting few days, and hopefully the Blackhawks can respond from the 8-3 loss on Tuesday night to the Vegas Golden Knights here at the United Center, after which we are podcasting from. But what a test ahead. Winnipeg Thursday, Nashville Saturday. You come back and host Calgary on Sunday, and it doesn't end there. It goes on and on, this challenging stretch of schedule ahead of the Winter Classic. Any final thoughts on stuff you want to work on or pass along or let people know what you're doing?
Yes.
Other than spilling Monster Energy drinks on you?
Oh, my God. You make me sound like such a fool, Chris. I
do know that computers that absorb Monster Energy drinks, they respond much differently than humans.
They crash real fast as opposed to slowly. I for Forbes, putting on my entertainment hat, I should have a story up Wednesday, probably Wednesday afternoon, on Stan Lee. I talked to the creator of Venom and the creator of Deadpool about Stan Lee and his legacy and how he treated people. It was a fun story to work on. I was a big fan of his. And also, I want to give a shout-out to a fan of the podcast and the blog and everything you do, Mr. Bowden. Katrina stopped by and said hello to me. It's very nice to meet Trina. She's always a big supporter of the stuff we do.
Yeah.
We appreciate her following us and her support and everything like that. And yeah, she's always at a bunch of Blackhawk events besides games, whether it's the convention, you know, a Duncan Keith relief effort. Oh, nice. She's a big supporter of the Blackhawks. And thanks to her for supporting us as well. And thanks to everyone else there who is listening. Don't I'll leave you out. Follow along on the Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page at facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy for everything Hawks, including Scott's Chelsea Blogger blog on WGNRadio.com. Follow me and Scott on Twitter at Bowden Tweets and at Scott King Media. I did not tweet out a picture of Scott eating tonight as I did in the last home game, so we might have to get back to that sometime. Total oversight on my part as we were preparing to continue with second intermission. But make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave a review. Also want to give a shout out to Dan Long, who's putting this together this time around, as Joe Romano enjoys a well-deserved vacation. So Dan, thanks for putting this together. We appreciate that. And we appreciate all of you for listening in. We'll have another one for you sometime next week. Haven't looked closely at the schedule, but trust us, we'll be there for you. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. We'll